Once upon a time, there were six strangers. Strangers who, despite the best efforts of the coronavirus, got together for a virtual game of D&D. That game turned into another game, which turned into yet another game, which turned into a campaign. By then, the strangers, who had started to become friends, said, "Hey, since we're playing and we need those notes anyways, why don't we record it and release it as a podcast?" This is the story of the players and the characters in that campaign. This is the story of Golden Glory in Season 3, The Shadow Conclave. Okay, welcome to our D&D podcast. First thing you gotta know, we're not voice actors. We're not even actors. We're just a bunch of regular folk who wanted to play D&D during the coronavirus pandemic. Next thing you gotta know, this ain't your run-of-the-mill D&D game. It's an Acquisitions Incorporated game, which means it's going to get weird, corporate, and have a bunch of acting in-jokes. Last thing you gotta know, it's a homebrew game, which means if you're looking for adventures on the Sword Coast, or in Tal'Dorei, or in Wildmar, you're not going to find them here. But if you're looking for something a little familiar, and more than a little different, onwards to Golden Glory. Now, before we begin, here's a quick character intro, just to help you know who's who.
Hi, I'm Selena, a human divination wizard, and I'm the loremonger.
Hi, I'm Theo. I'm a human twilight cleric, and I'm also the documancer.
Hey, I play Edith, a dwarf barbarian, and I'm the decisionist.
Hi, I'm Siona, a half-elf bard, and I'm the secretarian.
Hi, I'm Bobo the Hobo. I'm a tabaxi rogue and a freelance contractor.
Hi, I'm Melfix, a gnome artillerist artificer, and I'm an auditor representing the Marek branch of Acquisitions Incorporated.
Shadow Council, we bring to you today our 11th official episode of Season 3, A Tale of Intrigue, Adventure, and Corporate Machinations, Golden Glory, The Shadow Conclave. To my actual right, Selena, boy, without Theo around, you're certainly getting bossy. Telling everyone what to do, making executive decisions regarding staff holidays and imposters, you know, that sort of thing. Do I have to change your introduction to the micromanaging magic user?
No.
No, the Jewel of Gypsies, the Diamond of Divination, Selena Roma. Tagline?
No tagline.
No tagline. You know, no tagline doesn't actually count. It sounds like that's almost like a little bit of a disqualification. Edith, did you manage to take your power nap? It's not like you to fall in battle, much less fall unconscious while jumping off a 40-foot cliff. Generally, that's not a very good thing for your health, you know. Tagline.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, that's good. Deny everything, that's fine. Plausible deniability, the barbarous beauty, the raging rampager, Edith. Ah, Siona Star Glimmer. Back, I believe, from a interesting journey and solo mission into the heart of darkness, into Drawn Enterprises to uncover great secrets, all on the search for your friend Timely. How has that been going for you?
Drawn and cornered.
Inspiration.
Thank you.
Very good. I will take that as your tagline. Siona Star Glimmer, the Siren of Song, Mistress of Music, and I think that's it. Last but not least, Helfix. So, last episode, you gave a clear under-review assessment to our fearless franchisees. Now that you've had a chance to dig a little deeper for dirt and you've seen the team in action, is there any hope at all?
Oh, there's certainly hope. I've seen worse situations get completely resolved, but as it stands now, I mean, There's not much of an efficiency audit to be had when there's no efficiency, you know?
Okay, that was a belly laugh. I'm going to have to give you inspiration, man.
That's so mean.
The auditor of our artifice, the artillerist extraordinaire, Hellfix the Breaker Moonshadow. Now, G-Team, it has been a while since we've seen our heroes in action. So we're gonna need a little bit of a recap just to kinda, you know, what the heck happened in the last, month or so. Anyone want to kind of venture and volunteer a summary?
Nope. We tried to rescue Theo.
Okay, so, Selena, you say
you should insert the cricket sound there.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Yeah, I know. Tweet, tweet.
You tried to rescue Theo, and what came of it?
Nothing.
Nothing.
He got taken away.
He got taken away. Okay.
That's all I remember.
That's all you remember. Anyone else have a, active recollection? Hellfix, what about your perspective? I know that you didn't really feel that there's any efficiency going on, so clearly you have something informing your position.
Yeah, there's, I'm trying to...
Oh my god, you guys!
Well, from my perspective, I don't know how far back you want me to recap, because, a lot of this is new to me.
Well, okay. I've missed everything since you've joined.
So. Okay, how about I give it a shot? Maybe this is going to kind of spur some of your memories.
I've had two additional games since
I know. So it's all kind of getting in the way. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, well, so you guys went into the Shadow Realm to basically, not the Shadow Realm, this transportation area behind the mirror to basically, see if you could go rescue Theo. Because prior to that, Edith was with Theo, but then she kind of emerged into, the fake Golden Glory headquarters without basically escaping by the skin of her teeth. And then, of course, the other folks were also trying to, get involved. Hellfix, you were sort of introduced to at least the crew of the Sea Ghost. You hooked up with TH30, who is sort of a service robot type of thing, and he kind of took you to the Drawn Enterprise headquarters, where you there ran into Selena, who very in a very assertive fashion said, "Come on, everybody, we gotta go, and we gotta go rescue Theo." So you guys kind of went. You had some battles there, but ultimately Theo was plane shifted away or something like that. Hellfix, you managed to kind of recover some sort of interesting jewel or gem in sort of an opalescent kind of stone that glowed from within.
And it was similar to the stones in the thing.
It was similar to some of the stones that you had actually recovered when you went into the Shadowfell. Yeah. And in fact, when you investigated a little bit closer, it turned out that there is an internal glow associated with something within, and the entire structure of that gem is sort of based on necromantic sort of magic or energy.
And we just stopped Bobo from touching it.
That's right. You stopped Bobo from touching it. And the conclusion, at least what you guys were thinking, is that it captured within whatever that energy is, that's the energy of a soul entrapped within that gem.
Yes.
And then you exited from that because you were unable, unfortunately, to kind of rescue Theo. There was a whole discharge and everything like that. Oh, and in fact, the entire sort of mirror realm began shaking.
Barely got out alive.
Right. There was like all these insects kind of going, earthquakes, and the whole thing basically came apart. You guys just kind of left. But upon exiting, you went back to the Sea Ghost, but you also saw that there was some sort of flying shadow that was kind of looking around in the skies, and you guys quite creatively went into the sewers, went underneath the city, kind of emerged around the port and the harbor area, and thus avoiding detection by whatever that is.
Yeah.
But when you got to the Sea Ghost, there were a bunch of traveling caravans,
yes,
and some gypsy-like people,
the
which
Roma.
Turned out to, in fact, be the Vistani and members of the Roma clan,
yep.
Apparently, you know, long-lost family members of Selena. And there was a whole dance thing going on, and Bobo did this, like, aerial dance in the area. I think, Hellfix, you tried hard not to fall under the feminine wiles of one of the, you know, the dancing ones. And then, of course, you went inside.
We had a meeting with them.
You had a meeting with them, right?
See, things are coming back.
Yeah, see, these little things are starting to kind of appear now.
Yeah.
And even Edith got in on some of the dancing and some of that stuff. Now, it was revealed, and they give you had a mystical reading, like of these different cards.
Yeah.
And there was basically the outcome of it is that you know, there were cards involving sort of a stasis in decision, or this it was the card of the Etten, which basically had two heads, and the two heads were sort of arguing, you know, which way do we go, sort of suggesting indecision and uncertainty in the path going forward. There was a vision of another card that had to do with a magician or a mage or some sort of leader who appeared to be, you know, playing a game of chess or something like that, and was very prepared, very knowledgeable, essentially steps ahead of where you guys were in terms of kind of knowledge. And then there was another card that was turned over that was sort of like peasants. And in fact, it wasn't just peasants. It was sort of like common people with pitchforks and knives and stuff like that. And they were the pictures of gnomes.
Right.
And in fact, the gnomes being kind of just under a sense of thrall, you know, that sort of thing. So again, there was, you know, many things of that nature, and you guys were kind of discussed it. And at the end of the day, you had made the conclusion that maybe the Roma could accompany Turin to Lemuria because they actually had to go. And so you were starting to kind of get them out of the ship.
Yes.
And, you know, go from there. And it was sort of
wrapping
up.
Didn't we do something with the mirror things again?
You did some investigation of the mirrors.
Yeah.
And, I mean, essentially detecting the fact that one of the mirrors is broken.
Yeah.
The configuration of the different handles and things like that are tied to the magic. I think you guys considered casting Dispel Magic, but then ultimately decided against it because you didn't want to maybe break the mirror portals because they haven't been used again.
We might need them.
That type of thing. Yeah, so there's a lot of that stuff going on. And at the very end of it, definitely Edith just was so tired that she just kind of went into her room and fell asleep.
Okay. And that's how we ended it?
That is how we ended it.
Because Edith had hardly any
health points.
Health points.
Yeah. She got hurt pretty bad, okay. And she was just like looking for her long rest.
Yes.
And then, so switching gears a little bit, can we get a little bit of a recap from you, Siona, and your adventures?
Oh, dear. where do I start? Well, I guess I go back to, if I go all the way back to getting off the ship and visiting Emka's.
I think you can maybe just go from where you left off, where you were on this beach, that sort of thing.
Okay, from the beach, sure. Okay, so found myself on the beach with Griffey, obviously not recognizing who I was, and you know, not being able to influence him in any way. He took off across the water, and I was still in my half-orc disguise. So I found some interesting statues in front of a cave. They look like, I don't know, creatures have been, or people have been turned to stone, and they looked like I felt like they were guarding something. Anyway, they were turned to stone, and they creeped me out. I changed my disguise. I took a short rest, attuned to my hat of disguise. So my disguise underneath was what, just some beggar kind of look.
Yep.
And then using my hat of disguise, I disguised myself. Oh, I don't remember now. I put on, I think it was the same disguise.
It was the same disguise. It was kind of interesting because if you broke through the magical disguise, it would still be the same disguise underneath, which is actually quite clever.
Because I believe in business continuity planning and stuff like that, so the redundancy. And then being challenged with the certain athletics checks just to climb up to get in there. I went into a space that I thought wasn't quite safe, and then the basilisks appeared. And I started to feel a little bit of a grind in my bones, and I was starting to slow down and manage to break free and retain movement. Turned into a giant bat and surveyed the cave. There was some big construct in there, and a bunch of were they gnomes that
goblins
came in?
They were goblins.
Goblins came in, that's right. And they had an interesting lunch down there, and there was some talk about timely, and it looked like the creature, the mechanical creature, was moving crates that were had the Golden Glory logo on them.
Correct.
And I think they were cold or something, like, so I think they...
Yeah, they had some condensation, like the tops were cold, and basically there was condensation collecting due to the connection of, cold surfaces up against warmer air. Absolutely.
Right. So I think they might have contained, like, a Vespol or something. Anyways, it was a bit... dicey in the cave, and then the leader dude came down. He was a dwarf.
It was a foreman. Yeah,
a foreman. Yeah, and he sent the goblins back to work. The goblins were complaining that the construct broke because it kind of doubled over and just stopped moving.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something about a shipment that they had to get this shipment out, and they didn't have time for this. And where is Timely? Go get Timely. We need him so that we can keep this damn thing working.
And let me add a couple of details. So one of the things that was really awesome about that whole thing, so Siona polymorphed into a bat, a giant bat. And of course, a bat has blind sense, and it's able to get around with echolocation, so it was effectively immune to the petrification of the basilisk while she was flying around. So it was a really... I don't know if it was immediately deliberate, but it certainly ended up being that way, a really clever way to get around the petrification.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
It's all part of the master plan, right?
Yep. That's exactly why she did it.
Yep. And followed the Siona followed the foreman in hopes of finding Timely in Drawn Enterprises. I was able to fly down the hall and in bat mode seemed a little less scary.
Uh-huh.
Followed him through a secure door, though, which was probably not that smart, and he sat down and he pulled out some trappings to fix himself some kind of a smoke or something. And it was at that point that it was near that point that the polymorph spell wore off. And then I changed. I used my hat of disguise to impersonate Malachi.
Who is the head of that chapter of Drawn Enterprises, right? A tiefling kind of swords, a blades person, yeah?
Yeah. And tried to say very few words and just put the fear of Malachi into this poor foreman. And then I took his stuff. And then it was at that point where it was like I was just about to leave, and then everything went wrong.
Okay.
And we just end it right there.
we can end it right there. Well, and in effect, she had a little encounter with another member of Drawn Enterprises, and a little combat ensued, and Karen got to play that character. And let's just say things did not go very well for Siona Starglimmer.
Siona Starglimmer is unconscious.
And with that, let us resume the tale and, in fact, directly pick up from that moment. So, Siona, your head is swimming with pain. The lights that kind of flash behind your eyes as your eyes, slowly begin to... be restored to some semblance of vision, and but you know, all of a sudden you come out of your state of unconsciousness and, you know, remember all of the events that kind of happened previously. And this tabaxi sneaking around in the dark, using some incredible martial arts maneuvers and just having the advantage over you before you were struck into unconsciousness. And you feel yourself in a chamber, And it is lit, and there is kind of torchlight being cast on the walls and the shadows. You definitely see bookshelves kind of all around you, but you feel that your body is certainly, and you can see it now, you have a bit of a restraining rope that is kind of tied around you as you begin to kind of sense where you are. What do you do?
Well, I guess I take a closer look to see if I can spot the tabaxi in the room.
Detect the tabaxi, but then a voice speaks out, and it's the silken, unctuous tones of Malachi. Well, 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 it looks like our visitor has joined us again. And then something hits the pit of your stomach as your ears begin to pick up the subtle strains of a harp being played in the background music, and you know the tones, and you know those note patterns, and you recognize the significant musical skill of Arendelle, the elf that long ago, in the beginning of your adventures with Timely, you guys made off with one of his magical lutes. And he has never been quite the same with regards to recognitions. And in fact, Malachi says, yes, please do continue your counter-charm melodies. We wouldn't want the eloquence of this bard getting the better of us in this situation, would we now? Now, Siona Star Glimmer, can you please explain your presence here at Drawn Enterprises?
What's to explain? I think you know, there's lots of things that need explaining, like this whole where's Timely? Could we start there?
That perhaps is a good place to start, but don't for a moment think that it does not allow you to continue your explanations of your presence here. And it is certainly duly noted in the records of affairs, but let's talk about that. I wanted to ask you exactly the same thing. Where is our gnome artificer? Where is Timely? Are you not well connected with him? We have not seen him for at least a month. He has been absent from his duties. At one time, you know, he was operating out of his workshop and then, you know, providing us with the service and support to our constructs that we need to ensure the protection of our premises, the ongoing services of our logistics. And as I know you know so well, you saw very much the breakdown of one of Timely's constructs, and that is due to the lack of parts, the lack of maintenance, and the lack of Timely. So again, I would like to really understand where he is, for we do miss him so.
Oh, I'm certain that you do, but you would never miss him more than me.
Perhaps not, but he is a paid member of Drawn Enterprises and a valuable member of our cast and crew. Whereas you work for Goals and Glory, Acquisitions Incorporated.
Right, right. So does this all come down to a paycheck that, you know, you could just turn that off if he doesn't show up for work. You don't have to keep paying him, right?
I believe you underestimate his importance to our organization. So are you trying to tell me, Siona Starkliver, that you do not know where Timely is?
What kind of terms are we discussing here?
You seem to think that you are in a position to negotiate. Whatever gives you that impression?
That I might know something that you need to know, and if that's the case, then it just might become, important.
Arendelle, will you facilitate our situation, please? I wish to ensure that Miss Starglimmer speaks the truth in all of her utterances, for her sly tongue is something that I do not wish to bandy about with. And with that, there's a strumming on the lute. It kind of gets louder. And Arendelle says, "It would be my pleasure." And then energy surges from the harp, and kind of settling around you is the twinkling of golden light. And a spell of Zone of Truth is being cast in your immediate area. You can choose to fail, in which case you must tell the truth, or you can try to resist, in which case you can resist the effects of the spell. What do you choose?
I will attempt to resist.
Okay. I need you to make a wisdom saving throw, please.
I was hoping it was charisma.
I should check. I'm not actually sure if it is charisma or not. Let me actually double check it. Okay.
That'd make a huge difference.
I think some of the truth is charisma.
Yeah, it does sound like a charisma kind of thing. So, two sucks. Zone of Truth. It is a charisma saving throw.
In that case, 17.
Ooh! Okay. So, yes, you are not beholden to speaking the truth. Okay. And then you can see Malachi's eyes kind of narrow.
Does he know?
You know, I don't really know that you necessarily would be aware. Let's see. Affected creatures aware of the spell can thus avoid answering the questions. Such a creature can be evasive as long as it remains within the boundaries of the truth. You know whether each creature succeeds or fails on a saving throw. So, Malachi looks back over to Arendelle, and Arendelle kind of shakes his head. Okay. I should have anticipated that you would be inoculated against such mysticism. But no mind. I think we can deal in practicalities here. What is it that you suggest? If, in fact, that is what we are doing here, Siona, negotiating. And may I remind you that it is you who are the unwelcome guest, the trespasser in our headquarters. It has never been us who have brought upon any intrusion into your space. We are simple business people and good faith competitors, but it appears in your actions that you belie that statement.
And how is this also, well, I suppose technically everything you said is potentially true under a certain light, though it does take a little bit of finagling to find the essence of that truth with the Gold and Glory cargo that is being moved around by Timely's construct in the cave down below.
Are you questioning our legitimate business arrangement?
What don't I know?
We have a contract arrangement established through EMCA and Tlactalk, who have now signed an approved merger of organizations between the parent organizations plus the exact organizations. And that was supervised and signed by your organization as well. So I do not see the relevance of you suggesting that somehow our transport and shipping of goods that now jointly belong to our mutual firms is somehow inappropriate.
And could I just, like, confirm, who do you have on record as approving this this joint effort? Who signed off? Because we're all equal partners in Golden Glory.
All right. Well, he kind of snaps his eyes and fingers over. And with that, floating over from an area within the bookshelf that sort of kind of, you know, twists and unfolds is a contract, a scroll case that kind of floats its way over. And basically it lands, oh, I guess you would not be in your current state able to read this. So please allow me. He snaps his hands and the ropes fall away from you, freeing your hands. And floating in front of you, you is a scroll case.
Okay. I guess that was an invitation, so I will open the scroll case and examine it.
Okay. Give me an investigation roll, please.
8.
I can see that you are not well versed in the finer details of documentacy. Flip to Appendix B and the page just before that. You shall see the signatories of this contract detail. And since you do not seem to have the wherewithal to understand its contents, let me just say that this is a statement of joint venture operations between EMCA and Tlactalk to form the new organization of EMCATOX, which then makes Drawn and Golden Glory full partners in terms of the receipt and sales of goods from that organization. And you look, and it is signed by every partner on the Golden Glory side. You see Theo's signature. You see Selena's signature, Edith's kind of, hand press. You also see your own signature.
But I never signed this document.
You definitely don't remember signing this document.
What is the date on this document?
The date falls back to about 2.5 months ago. And you were definitely not in this area at that point in time. Do you care to explain? I'm sure you cannot deny the fact that your own signature graces this document.
Well, actually, I believe that I can. I would like to invoke I'm questioning the validity of this contract, and we should put this through the proper celestial judicial process to validate that this is a fraud, because I did not sign this. That is not my signature.
Then how do you explain the meetings that we had with your organization in your new headquarters here in Saltmarsh? We sat across the table face to face. I shared a drink with you. We even had a couple of good laughs. Explain this to me.
Forgive me. Perhaps I should have allowed you to have that zone of truth. It seems that there are things that are much. Seems that there are much larger things at play here, and I fear that the truth is difficult to see or to even believe. But
those are convenient words for one who has penetrated our very organization,
yeah.
Violated the very terms of the contract that you signed.
I'm sure, but I did not sign any contract. I have not even been here, and I.
Well, all we have is your good word to give us that reassurance. And of course, you have resisted our zone of true spell. What are we supposed to even think from here on in? If you are not willingly cooperating with us, surely you have something to hide.
No, I'm sorry, but new information has come to light for me looking at this contract, and I implore you that we should have a proper celestial judicial review of this contract, because I am confident that it will not hold up.
Do you understand the expense that would be involved in securing such a celestial review? The time and the preparation that would be needed by attorneys and members of the judicial court to do such an investigation? Is Gold and Glory willing to front the full cost of such an investigation?
Well, I guess it depends on which Gold and Glory is paying that bill, doesn't it?
What do you mean, which Gold and Glory?
I'm just saying that this contract is null and void. It was not done in good faith with Gold and Glory, and I feel that...
Look at it. I know you are not trained in the mystical arts to any degree, but it is sealed with divine magic, which attests to the legitimacy of this contract. I do not understand how you can look me in the face, even while you are a trespasser on our headquarters, and tell me this is not legitimate.
That's right. I must really believe it.
This is preposterous.
I'm going to attempt to persuade them that I am telling the truth and that this contract should be investigated.
Okay, give me a persuasion roll.
23.
Let us presume for even a second that I am to believe your story. You are suggesting the way to clear this matter is through a celestial inquiry. Are you, as a due representative of Golden Glory, willing to fund that entire investigation?
I do believe, and I'm going to attempt persuasion on this, that it is in all of our interests that this be resolved, and that Drawn Enterprises is equally will equally benefit from the discovery of the truth in this matter.
Roll with disadvantage.
Ouch. Okay, so it's not 30. Oh, 19.
We can accept some small cost, but we will not bear the primary thing. If you are the instigator of this requirement, then you must front all of the initial investment, and you must put down that remuneration to ensure that those appropriate agents are engaged. We will not proceed. And let us, since we are talking terms, you will offset the cost that we would normally need to share to offset the damages to our property and our privacy and our secrecy for your attempts and proven infiltration of our organization. The damages to our operations, the ill will that is clearly being perpetrated against us.
No, hold on. I think you go a little far here. I hardly saw anything, and certainly I didn't know.
And that justifies it?
Come on. There's nothing. I didn't do any harm. Nothing was broken. I didn't touch anything. All I discovered is what you were doing that brought us to this point where we can have this conversation.
Have our members ever infiltrated your organization? Have we engaged in illicit activities to investigate you? No, we have always acted in good faith in accordance with the law. Is it our issue if you cannot run your businesses appropriately with the appropriate security? Absolutely not. And here you are, caught red-handed by one of our own members. I cannot even believe that you're attempting to worm your way out of this.
Well,
cover the cost or no deal.
I find it rather hard to believe that you would actually even say that Drawn has not participated in corporate espionage. I mean, I clearly recall Kitness complaining about I guess it was that cat on his tail. And you would present me like as if Drawn is all innocence and doesn't conduct business in the way that business is conducted. I think we have a case of the pot calling the kettle black here.
Again, you are in no position to truly negotiate. And even in this moment, I'm offering you some degree of redress to offset the harm that you have done to our organization. So I make the offer again.
Your organization. I think that, let me just clarify something here. Timely is, timely is really the most important thing, right? Can we agree on that? Because at the end of the day,
Drawn
goes belly up because your own mismanagement that you won't investigate a contract that is, questionable at best.
Entirely on your say-so. This contract has been absolutely, has been profitable for both sides. We have engaged in, increased operations. Our sales have increased. Our margins have improved. Everything you're saying, you have nothing to even, there is nothing in this contract that has been negative for our operations. It has been, in fact, a great success. And here you are infiltrating our organization, trying to cast doubt on a very successful joint venture. I now question your own.
I think that this is actually very helpful for the lawsuit that will come after we prove that this contract is null and void and all the activities that Drawn Enterprise has been taking part in.
You're going to threaten us with a lawsuit.
I'm just stating facts. It's not a threat. But anyway, never mind that. Let's talk about Timely.
Yes, let's talk about Timely.
Because Timely is the most important thing, right? He's the most important thing to me. And, I guess he's worth a profit for you. But let's see. Perhaps we could work together on his safe return, shall we say. So you let me go. And share information with me on time. Timely trusts me. He's my friend, as you know. In return, I will, on my honor, do whatever I can to find him regardless. I do not need to be beholden to you in order to do that. And when he is found, if he's under contract with you and under oath and all the judicial whatnots of all of that, then he is bound. I can only imagine that there must be something that is keeping him from his duty if he is bound in such a way. And I will.
And just like that,
to the bottom of that,
you can waltz into our headquarters, conduct your espionage, and think just because you can find Timely that excuses you from your trespass. Let me put it this way: we will let you go. And the reason we are doing this is that we do truly believe that you are perhaps the best resource to ensure that our beloved employee is returned to us in a safe manner. However, you have trespassed in our organization. You have attempted to infiltrate and conduct corporate espionage despite Imperial law.
I have a question.
Yes.
That's
question for Alpha or question for Malachi?
Question for Alpha.
Sure. Okay. Uh-huh.
Question for Alpha. I'm wondering what time it is, how long I've been out, what day it is. My question is basically just getting down to the concert that Siona was performing in, if that concert was taking place while I was at Drawn. Or if it's still to come.
Roll insight or perception.
Three.
Yeah, you know what? You literally came out of a state of unconsciousness. You're in a room inside. And you recognize the room. The room is the same as the one that you kind of met with Malachi when you were in disguise. So it's kind of their corporate boardroom or working room area. But yeah, you're not really sure. So this is what I see. Clearly you have been caught red-handed, but out of a sense of generosity and our successful joint venture, I feel that we could grant some leniency. However, we do require...
We have this successful joint venture. Why would I do any of this?
Exactly. Could you please explain this to me? Why you are even here?
Well, exactly, and that's my point. It's this contract. I never signed this contract. There is no successful joint venture, and I will prove it.
The facts speak for themselves. We have legal way bills and bills of sale, bills of purchase, purchase orders, everything above board. You could investigate it, have all these, and then yet you even want to invoke celestial review of all things.
Exactly, because if this comes up, there has been a massive fraud committed, and it could put Drawn out of business. That's what I'm telling you.
All right. Now, and he begins walking over to your position, and you can see, and you kind of get a sense that he is bending down to kind of speak to you so that others cannot hear. What do you do?
I just stay where I am, and I try not to, like, shiver.
All right. He whispers, "You want to play it that way? Fine. You help us find Timely, and we will consider that an initial redress of the current situation. But then, do I have your agreement, Siona Starglimmer, that you owe us a favor?"
"I believe that if I find Timely and I prove..."
"That is insufficient.
Is a fraud, then I will have done you a great favor."
"I would be willing to concede that." "Okay. Are you going to instigate the Celestial Review and take on all of its expenses?"
"Only on the condition that I have the right to redress. The Golden Glory retains full rights to recover any and all damages done from this illegal, fraudulent contract. Both past, present, and future. Damages to Golden Glory's reputation and all of our losses and personal embarrassments."
"And you shall front the required expenses associated with this celestial investigation?"
Sorry, it's just, that's just not my expertise, you know, like I work with the staff and
I am sure that you could work with your accountants to ensure that the appropriate funds are set aside and accrued over an appropriate time frame."
"Oh, I'm sure that I can. I just, you know, would also just like to point out that all of those funds would be need to be repaid by Drawn once proven that this contract is null and void, in fact, fraudulent in the eyes of Celestial Judiciary."
"We will not be held accountable for damages that are alleged. This is your... You are okay. Two-thirds... Drawn, sorry, not Drawn, Golden Glory for this investigation. One third covered by us in recognition of your trespasses. And one additional favor." And he leans in very close to your ear and he clearly is whispering. "Can you get me front row seats to your show?"
"Oh, that's hilarious. Flattery will get you so far. See, the thing is..."
"Sorry, I can't hear your whisper. You'll have to speak up. You'll have to speak up a little bit."
The tickets that I have, what row are they in?"
They're not front row seats. They are kind of general populist type of thing, but it basically in the dance on the dance hall type of thing. So, I mean, you can approach it, but it's not like a dedicated seating thing.
"Okay. Listen, two-thirds up front, Gold Glory, one-third up front, Drawn Enterprises. But Golden Glory reserving the right to recover, to sue for damages if the contract is proven to be fraudulent.
Against the appropriate instigators. Therefore, if damages are proven not to be initiated or tied back to John Enterprise, we remain blameless and you shall seek redress of those damages from the aggrieved party. We will not pay for something that we did not do.
Did not knowingly do, perhaps. Oh, I can't quite fault you there. But your full cooperation into the investigation to support our claims is required.
Of course, that is understood. Now what about those tickets?
I have general tickets. I'll see what I can do. I'm sorry, I'm not really in charge of these things.
It sounds like, Siona Starglimmer, that we have a deal. And he walks away with a very dramatic flourish and basically walks to the back of the room. He snaps his fingers, the doors open, all kind of, you know, ropes and things like that may have been binding or constraining you kind of fall away.
Do I have all my stuff?
He snaps his fingers again, and yeah, there's like a bag that kind of, you know, appears to have your stuff.
I grab my hat, I do a little spin and flourish, bend my back knee and extend my arm forward with my hat outstretched, and I do a little kind of like a curtsy in his direction and tip my hat back on my head, and I walk out quite proudly.
As you walk through that area, you kind of look off to the side of where the door is, and you can see gazing out at you with amber eyes shrouded in shadow. You see once again the tabaxi staring back at you.
Sorry, I think I might be allergic to felines.
Siona Starglimmer, can I ask you, now that you've kind of had that exchange with, the maybe somewhat surprising exchange with the members of Drawn Enterprise, I mean, you're certainly on your way. Can I ask, what is it that you're doing right now?
We finished that off. I was trying to make my way back to where I thought the G team would be.
Okay.
So I was trying to make my way back to Sea Ghost, and I was specifically trying to seek out Canty or Edith.
Okay, perfect. Along the way, you actually encounter a very colorful band of individuals, and they remind you in almost a much more extravagant way. The way that Selena tends to dress. So, I mean, Selena tends to dress in kind of very wide, flowing, free-form kind of robes, and there's a lot of scarf work in there. There's some colors, a lot of, knot work and ribbons and design. So that's very, reminiscent of that. But if anything, these guys kind of take it up like a huge notch. So you see almost like a mini caravan of these people starting to kind of load onto various wagons and stuff like that. And to your surprise, you see Turin all in full regalia, and he is helping to load some of there's blankets and there's barrels and all sorts of kind of goods. And he is actually helping to put some of that stuff in, helping the Vistani load it onto these essentially covered wagons. What do you do? Yeah. And sorry, just to say, you're within eyeshot of of the sea ghost. Like, you can see it. It is docked to the shore. You can see some activity off on, like the open deck. Like, you don't see any of your companions. It's still fairly early in the morning, or maybe getting closer kind of to the afternoon. But certainly where a lot of the activity seems to be is just on the outside of the other harbor, where there's this kind of, you know, caravan of folks that are starting to kind of gather. But Turin
does,
is
does Turin have the like an amulet of incorporation that I can message with him?
I will say yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to message Turin and I'll say, Turin, Siona, what are you doing?
Siona, you're back. Where have you been? I know the crew, the franchise has been looking for you.
What are you doing?
Well, where are you? In fact, I'm very glad that we're able to speak. Are we able to see each other? I would much prefer, you know, face to face if we can.
And I'll just kind of like slip behind the building or into the crowd. Like, I want to stay out of eyeshot for a moment until I get an answer from him.
Okay.
Yeah, Turin. I'm sure we can talk. Where's everybody else?
This is sort of what I wanted to say to you. I have made the decision, and it is a difficult one, especially given your predicament with your friend Timely. Any news on him?
No.
Oh, Siona, I am so sorry. But again, the words of my mentor, they call to me, and I think every waking moment of my brethren and my people in Lemuria, and I know that they are contending potentially with war and invasion, and I cannot in good conscience stay. And I know I made my pledge to you that I would come to Saltmarsh and I would assist with your quest, but I hear the voices of my queen. I hear the songs of my people. And every day that I delay the return to my homeland, it fills me with a sense of dread. I need to see you before I go.
Yeah, so Siona would, like, just to make this official, like, she wants to do an insight check to see that this really is Turin.
Sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead, make a roll.
six.
You know what? You've been through a lot, especially the past couple of days. You are tired. You are overwrought. You are actually physically hurt quite badly from, you know, bruised and battered from your combat with the Tabaxi. It's not like Drawn offered you any type of, you know, healing salve or balm. And you know what? It looks like, you can see him. It looks like Turin. He has all of the trappings, his sword, his shield, his wings, the coloration of his scales. But, I mean, you don't know. And what he is doing outside of the franchise is also certainly a question.
Right. Okay. I should have, we're a level 2 franchise, right?
Correct.
I think I've got brochures at this point.
Okay.
I don't think I have business cards yet, but I think I got brochures.
Uh-huh.
I'll leave one out, on a little table or tucked into the wood at the building that I'm near. I'll walk away. And I'll say, Turin, just pick up the brochure and I'll tell him where it is. I'll say, you know how to get in touch.
Okay. So you can see him kind of look around and then, sorry, where do you put the brochure?
Like whatever, like a building that I'm, that I'm near, if there's a place I can just like kind of like tuck it into a window, you know, just sort of like put it underneath the seam of the wood or something. So I'm going to walk away before I tell him that I've done that. Okay. Like, I want to be out of view.
So you see him kind of, you know, talk and you can't hear what he's saying. Like he's no longer connected through that the messaging at the moment, but he seems to be having a word with one of the female members of this troop, and she seems to kind of nod her head, and then she actually continues to busy herself with what's going on in the wagons, and then he starts walking over in the direction of the building, and you see him kind of pick up the brochure that's kind of, you know, inserted into the window, and he is kind of looking around, and then he says, I'm here. If we can talk, that would be wonderful.
Turin, what do you want to talk about? You're not normally so chatty.
I know. Maybe I'm speaking because this might be the last time that you and I speak face to face, and I just wanted to say goodbye.
You've never cared so much before. I mean, when my skin was like literally like turning black with blisters and stuff, like you didn't come to my aid. Why now?
Look.
Even Selena, who blasted me, made a sacrifice at that time.
I am sorry.
If you really are Turin, if you even know what I'm referring to.
Look, I do not know what you require from me as proof, but all I have is my word and my will, and that to me is sacred. I know I am not the most talkative, and perhaps is because we must part ways. I just wanted to say my farewell and apologize that I cannot help you further as much as I want to.
That does sound like Turin. Siona's a bit curious now. She'll step out and she'll approach. She's still suspicious, like she's not sure that this is the real Turin, so she's going to hold back like a bit of a distance, but she'll come out and say, "Ah, Turin! So, well met, Turin. Nice to see you. So glad that we could say goodbye." And she says with a really big smile,
I hope you understand.
Oh, what's to understand, Turin? What's a little, kidnapping or missing friends when there's war on the horizon and we know how you feel about your eggs?
Yes, exactly. That this is all I have to say. I am glad that we could meet and talk, and I hope and I pray that we shall see each other again.
Turin, in all seriousness, I do hope that that you do take care of yourself and that you do, you know, serve your country well, serve your queen well. Be careful out there. It is a dangerous ocean filled with tentacles and all kinds of strange beasts. And fare thee well, my friend.
And you, my friend. And may I thank you for one more thing?
You can thank me all day, it's fine.
Well, you are the author and composer and creator of the song that has become so famous of late amongst my people and even beyond in Lemuria. And I guess it is about me. And I never dreamed that I would be the subject of a song, especially one so well known. But know that I hear it in my heart. And when my people sing it, as they have done, I will think of you.
Thank you, Turin. It is truly an honor, and every bard's dream to be remembered in such a way.
I thank you.
My harp will go on.
Until another day, then. Perhaps on Lemuria's shores we shall meet again.
Perhaps. Perhaps give your regards to my... give my regards to your queen, please.
I shall. Selina.
Yes.
You stare through a darkened haze and fog, and you can see motes of starlight and shadows dance hazily before you. Your head feels woozy and clouded and heavy, and your thoughts are even more the same. And you feel the weight of responsibility, loss, and something else burden you as you clink and clank through a darkened passage. And you hear the grunting and exhortation of a being growling in the dark, struggling and straining in the shadows. And you know that again, you must check and you must ensure that your charge complies. What do you do?
Huh? Okay, first, where am I? Why am I clinking and clanking?
You look at your hands and they are encapsulated in iron and steel, interspersed with moonstones and obsidian, which flash in this partial darkness. Your gauntlets spark with a hidden energy which temporarily lights up, and you can hear, you can feel it and see the sparks of electricity lance up into some form of wiring or tubing that is connected to another part of this solid armor that you have constructed that encases your form in protective and empowered might. You can see in front of you this display of lights which almost seems to dance like a display, and formulas and sigils of magical arcane energy, mathematic and scientific writings flash before your eyes, and you realize that you can see in this almost total darkness. And as you instinctively adjust the sensitivity of your visor, you can then see it begin to focus on multiple objects, a rock nearby, and an analytical tracing of highlighted, almost green phosphorescent energy basically traces over it. And again, more calculations, distance and height and density. And then you see another bars that are, you know, up against the side, a doorway further on, and it flashes and blinks a couple of times, and you zoom in and you can see the entranceway of another cavern egress that kind of flashes from within. And then once again,
what's making that noise?
You think it's something that's behind the door or behind the bars.
Okay, I go closer to the bars. What's behind there?
You look and you see your charge. It is a powerful, hunched over, very, very large bearded dwarf. At his side, hanging from a belt, is this massive hammer encrusted with runes that seem to pulse almost with an inner lava kind of energy. And his eyes flash towards yours in anger.
Who are you?
Theo. Again, the ancestors call you from your slumber, and you awake and you feel the chains and the manacles basically close around your muscled torso and your body, and you feel yourself restrained against the side. But again, pulsing below you, echoing with the subterranean chant, and you feel the power that is tied in with your connection with the earth pulse towards you, and you feel the runes on your hammer begin to flow and pulse. You see your jailer, your captor, begin to approach the doorway where you stand. But again, for whatever reason, your foolish captors have not managed to take your weapon from you. It pulses and gives you power. It fills you with confidence and energy, and all four of the runes of power flash. What do you do?
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, I got confused too.
I was talking to...
I got so confused. I thought you had Selena in like a trance-like state somewhere else looking at Theo's torture, essentially.
Well, I wouldn't say that you're being tortured actively. Certainly in this moment, you feel yourself entrapped in the chains, and you wake up from whatever dosage that they had kind of kept you under, and you see this armored form clank towards you. It is behind the bars, or at least on the other side of the bars, and you feel that raging anger, that raging hatred and hunger that seems to kind of just flow through your veins. It has been an age and a half you don't even know. You have not seen starlight or twilight or felt the touch or the caress of Serene inside your mind except for in your deepest thoughts and prayers. Because overriding this is the pulse of the earth itself. And you still, at this moment, are a captive.
Okay.
Do you do anything? Do you attempt to extricate yourself?
I guess I don't know what my options are. Am I hands bound? Am I tied to a table? Am I behind bars?
So you are behind bars, and I had assumed that was in my description. So your hands and your feet are manacled to long chains, which attach themselves to a massive steel and iron ring, which is held upon the door. It allows, not the door, but the wall. It allows you to move forward, but not quite up to the bar area. And so, you know, you have enough freedom to be able to walk around. You have managed to void yourself when you need to take care of those means. You remember.
Am I avoiding myself from a hole in the wall?
That's effectively what you've had to do. It's barbaric, it's animalistic, but what other choice have you had?
And there's a bed in here, I assume?
If you want to call it bed, it's more of a kind of stone outcropping that just kind of has a little bit of matted and rotting straw amongst it.
Okay. Let me spend a moment here and pull up Theo's character sheet because I have TH30s.
Understand. Selena, do you say anything to your captive? You can see him just sitting there in the dark,
Theo,
playing with its chains.
And I recognize the name Theo, right?
absolutely okay. recognize
Theo.
The name. It is your charge. You have been tasked to guard.
And he looks like a dwarf?
Yes, certainly it's the dwarf.
Do I recognize him as the Theo Selena knew, or is this a different...
Who is Selena? You look...
Do I see Selena?
You don't see Selena. You actually see a fairly short... You kind of think maybe gnome or halfling-sized, but they are decked out in this massive, bulky suit of armor. And again, it's not like any armor you've ever seen before. It's almost like it has strange angles and tubes and gems and lights and electricity that flows everywhere along the edges. Do you say anything?
Theo, Selena. Get up.
And you hear not that voice, but sort of almost like echoes transformed into an almost mechanical-like amplification. Theo, get up.
And you said I had some kind of electrical thing on
Sure, absolutely.
Hand.
Yeah, your power glove.
Yes, okay. What else do I have?
Well, you know, certainly...
other than the armor.
You have your tool kits, you have your utility belt, you have your powered armor and, the source of the internal energy, the arcane crystal that gives life to your entire armored form.
Okay, do I have, other than the electrical gauntlet, do I have any other weapons?
With your armor, you are a weapon.
Okay, just wanted to know. Okay.
Theo, what do you do?
I guess I look at this piece of armor, right? And I'm probably tired and exhausted. And I kind of lazily get to my feet. What do you want now?
It's time to go see the boss.
It is time to see the master.
Or the master, sure.
You are no master of mine.
No, but I am here to take you to the master.
You will come to the master. Now.
And I kind of like jingle on the chain, kind of like nod to the wall, but like,
He's staying within the cell. What do you do?
Come now.
Come now.
It's not like I can go, right? I'm chained to this wall.
Is he chained to the wall?
He is chained to the wall.
Okay.
Now, Theo, you noticed something. You don't know why you didn't really notice this before, but you've seen it before. A little bit out of place next to this powered armored glove is sort of like a wristwatch contraption. But you've seen something very similar before. Actually, now that you're thinking about it, you remember this being on Siona's wrist. It's that, you forget what she calls, Seiko or something like that? Some sort of wristwatch or compass or something that's attached to like a leather strap. And it has this sort of, piece. And you can see that that's built right into the armored glove. Selena, what do you do or say?
Can I reach where the chains are attached?
The chains are attached to the far wall. You would have to open up the actual cell.
Do I have keys to open up the actual cell?
Hey, I'm not going anywhere. You can open up the cell. It's not like I'm going to escape here.
Quiet!
You do have.
Okay, I open the cell.
And, like, you see this armored form, like, basically open its right other hand, and there's this pulse of kind of, glowing energy, and all of a sudden, the lock on the cell actually opens, and you can see the cell wall begin to basically move to the side. But he is chained up, like, fully. Each hand, like, left, right, and his legs are chained to a backwards thing, which is around a hook.
Okay. I go to the back and unhook the chains.
Theo, you might have an opportunity here. You see that it moves past you and begins to move towards the chain and unhook them.
But I'm keeping my distance.
But it's keeping
am I disarmed and disarmed?
You are basically in like a loincloth and a tattered shirt.
Okay.
Now, you don't... Like, you look down at your side and you remember feeling the power of your hammer, but you don't see it there. Maybe that was just a waking dream.
Now, given the strength of this hammer and its hold on my mind, and I would imagine I'm still attuned to the Iron Lord's wrath, do I have a sense of where it is?
What do you do to reach for it?
I think I concentrate on the absolute immense feeling of invincibility and power that it gave me as I mentally seek that again.
Gosh! Morok, and you speak the words and the sigils of power, and as each one flickers through your mind, you feel your body swell with strength, power, and energy. It is almost as if grasp in your hand, you hold the hammer. In fact, you believe you see it there, gathering power and flame.
Do I sense this?
Roll perception. So just roll. Just roll your normal. Roll your perception. Oh, you have a very high perception, do you
know? Yeah, I'd be happy to roll perception.
16.
Okay, you see him begin to strain against, and he's like gathering for a burst of energy. What do you do?
I'm going to take my glove, and I assume it can either, I have to touch him, or can it...
You can do this from a distance. Okay. It can fire like bolts of energy.
Okay, I'm going to say, stop!
Stop!
And I'm going to fire a bolt of energy.
And then what happens is that, and Theo, you see now this crackling of energy gather and like lightning flowing back and forth between both of the gloves. It flows into this central, like an opalescent structure or some sort of gem crystal thing in the middle. And all of a sudden, boom, out comes this huge beam of light and energy basically flooding all over you. Your neuraps, your synapses fire, and you can feel yourself begin to almost, burn with electrical energy. And then with rage, you try to fight through it. But then... you lose consciousness. And Selena, you wake up.
And did I notice the Seiko watch?
You do.
It's not still on me, is it?
Well, on you now. Like whatever your night clothes are or whatever, like you have that. But, it definitely said Seiko. And engraved on the side is Siona.
I'm going to call a meeting.
All right. Now, for the rest of the Golden Glory crew who was not, participating in this particular thing, I need you to roll off against the sleight of hand pickpocketing that the Vistani are doing against each of you. So the only person who gets to roll with an advantage is Helfix, because during the dance with his partner, Mala, he kind of became aware that she was trying to put on all the charm and basically, started to kind of, hide stuff and things like that. So why don't we start with Edith? And
Edith, taking away the valuables.
Yeah, right. So Edith, I need you to roll basically perception, at your normal, rate. And you're going to roll off against my roll. Which is not very good.
You might have a chance. You probably have the chance, but we're going to go find out the modifiers. Give me a sec.
Okay, sure.
Are you a high wisdom barbarian?
Probably not. I think I did that as one of them status of intelligence. Maybe we need high intelligence. 8.
So close.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you can think about this, but I want you to tell me what object or possession of medium value to you did you have stolen? I'm going to move to the next person. Selena, I would say that you have advantage as well. And you, in fact, know that this is a kind of time-honored tradition for them to try and steal something.
They'd even do it from their own family.
Yeah, but it's a test, right? If you don't pass the test, then clearly, you know, you need some practice. So, yeah, tell me what you get.
Oh, it didn't do it. Sorry. I have to roll again because you said advantage. So 13.
13,
or 14,
huh?
14, 14. Sorry.
Okay, so...
But then my perception is naturally 16.
Okay. Again, think about it, but tell me what possession of minor importance do you actually lose? Okay, and then TH30, let's have your roll, please.
Yeah, I rolled. I got a 16.
Okay, so you also lose something of minor value. So think about it and be prepared to tell everyone else what it is that you lost. And then, is Bobo there?
No.
Not at the moment? Okay, that's fine. We'll skip. And then Hellfix, you can roll this with advantage.
Yeah, I'm glad I got advantage because that is a natural 20 for a Bobo.
Okay, you managed to squirrel away all your possessions, all of your tools, your equipment, and you could see that Mala was kind of trying to kind of look at it, but then because you moved things around, she didn't take anything. Okay, so let's go around the table and let's have a description about the stuff that you lost. Let's start with the more valuable, which would be something that Edith you would have lost.
Well, I lost my great axe.
Okay. Wow. Obviously, not your magical one. Was that just a normal?
No, just a normal great axe.
Your normal great axe, but it's something that you've carried with you. You trained with it. Yeah, it's gone. Okay, and TH30, what did you lose?
I think TH30 lost his mess kit.
Okay. Selena?
A bloodstone.
A bloodstone.
He still
okay.
Lost her bloodstone.
And you know what? Like, I mean, it's nice, it's a little bit value, but it's not really something that important at the end of the day. And Hellfix, you were fine. So yeah, we're going to start with that. And let's say it's at this time, Siona, if you want to, enter or approach the ship, you certainly can. So Siona, what do you do?
I'll slip. If I can find a spot where I can just like have a moment of privacy, I'm going to put on a disguise. I'm going to look like... I don't know, just like any person who I've seen on this, like some random person who when I walk down the street on my way there looks ordinary, preferably a woman of around the same height and build as I already am, and I'm just going to adopt that that look.
Like and sorry, question. Like, okay, so it's one thing to disguise yourself as like a regular commoner or a person on the streets of Saltmarsh, but it's another thing to be a crew member of the Sea Ghost. So I guess the question is, like, if you're looking to board the Sea Ghost disguised as a person who is not a crew member, that could create some, you know, potential questions and things like that.
So. Right. That's true. So no, I'll just look like someone that I've seen on the ship then.
Okay, perfect. So basically crew. Okay, so yeah, you kind of managed to get on. Now, Selena, you are calling a meeting.
Yes.
Okay. So, Siona, you see James kind of running around, actually, and blowing the whistle on the top is Sphere 2. And, you know, he seems to be shouting and ordering, you know, people about, oh, get going, you landlubbers! We have to recover from all that kind of stuff! And you're going to check every nook and cranny to see what was taken from us in that debacle! You should be ashamed of yourselves that we let that kind of happen, that those infiltrators came on board and they messed up Master Theo's bedroom. Ashamed, I say. Okay, Siona.
Yeah, I'm with that in mind, I'm going to see if I can make my way to Canty.
Let's say, Siona, can you roll perception or investigation for me, please? Either or.
17.
Okay. So, you definitely get a sense from kind of listening and watching in all that kind of stuff. That there is definitely some sort of meeting being called on in the boardroom. So James is kind of running around and, you know, he's basically saying, hey, the executives are calling in a meeting. We got to get there. Somebody tell Captain Canty and let's also get Stormy as well. Let's just make sure that everyone is there. Okay. And so I assume that the rest of you, based on sort of like normal protocol, if one member of the executive is going to call a meeting, the rest of you would actually go. Now, Helfix, you are not necessarily part of that protocol, but you've been part of these type of meetings before with various clients and things like that. So I guess just the question is what does everyone choose to do at this moment? And let's just make the assumption, because I think Bobo and Helfix, you guys were actually staying off ship, but let's just make the assumption that you guys kind of regrouped and that you would, you know, eat on the mess hall, on the ship and things like that. But at this moment, let's say the meeting is being called and, you know, you see the regulars, right? So you see Stormy there, the accountant, you see Canty in all her kind of glory. You know, Selena appears to be kind of there, seating at the table. You know, basically all the members, and even Sphere 2, he actually kind of participates as well. So I'm assuming the rest of you there. And the only person who has not overtly made herself kind of, you know, visible, I suppose, would be Siona. So I guess, Selena, it's your meeting, your call. And you know, Canty kind of says, ma'am, so you're calling a meeting?
Yes. I just had a vision. Where's Siona?
I'm afraid we don't know where Siona is after
this. This is really important. She's going to want to know this.
Okay.
Do I sense that Siona's there?
Roll perception with disadvantage, because you'd have no idea.
I'm not actually in the meeting hall, am I?
If you want to. So I was just going to ask you. So you know and you hear definitely that an executive meeting has been called. And so you're on board the ship. You can choose to go wherever you want. You can go into like the wheelhouse. You could go into like, you know, the bunk area, the main area, or you could even go towards your room if you wanted to. So, I mean, you basically, you know, can be as public or as private as you want in this moment, but you're clearly back on board the Sea Ghost and no one is really questioning it.
So what I would like to do, is if I can, do I see, is James still around?
Let's say you catch him kind of, you know, on his way back and he basically exits out of the, you know, the boardroom and he's kind of running towards the main deck area.
Okay, and I'd like to pull him aside and I'd like to like just pull him into like a little side room, whatever the closest one is where we can be in private. And I'll say, James! Before I do that, I'll let go of my disguise and just be myself. But I want to be careful that others don't see me.
Okay.
And pull him aside, James, and like pull him into the room, shut the door, and say, James.
And James is like, Sir, ma'am, your highness, Miss Yona.
Lord Commander would be fine, thank you.
Lord Commander, you're back, where have you been? Everyone's looking for you, and Selena,
Lord Commander would be fine,
Lord Commander, she's called a meeting of the executives, and I don't know if you know this, but Theo's no longer with us, he's been captured or something, and spirited away to some alternate dimension, and we don't know what's going on, and they're all looking for you.
Really?
Yeah. Well.
Wow, that is fascinating. I think you just delivered 5 facts in less than 3 seconds.
Okay. Well, you know, it's.
No, James. Something very, very, very important. Very important. You have not seen me. I was never here. And you must go down to the casino right now and count all of the chips. Okay. I need accurate counts of every color of chip right now.
But why can't I tell people that I saw you? Because I saw you, and they're looking for you.
James. All in due time.
Fine. I count the chips. And then,
if you need to count the chips, this is vital. This is very, very, very important. Go straight to the casino, count the chips. Say, tell no one, nothing. If someone else asks you why you're going, what you're doing, and whatever, you ignore them. Say, this is very, 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 very important. I'll get to what you're asking for next. After I've done this one thing, sorry, no time to explain. I must go.
Okay. All right. And where do I find you after I count all the chips?
You'll find me. You'll find me.
Okay, ma'am, Lord Commander.
All the chips in the casino.
All the chips in the casino. That's a lot of chips. That's a lot of chips.
And you need to count yourself. This is a task that I need you to do.
Oh, thanks for trusting me in such an important task. Okay.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I'm going, Lord Commander. Bye. And he dashes out.
All right. And then I assume this guy is James. And I go to the boardroom.
That is cool.
And scene. Okay, that's a wrap. This concludes part A of our episode. We hope you're enjoying the adventures of the G-Team as much as we're enjoying making it all up as we go along. Part B will resume in our release next week. In the meantime, have a great day, stay safe, and don't forget to love each other. See you next time on Gold and Glory.